Welcome to this week's edition of Radioactive Magazine on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio, with your host, Dave Mitchell. A completely false narrative, there was widespread voter fraud in the November 2020 presidential election, has achieved a life of its own, with surveys indicating about 65% of Republicans believing the election was stolen from Donald Trump. This myth is powering the introduction of a wide variety of voting bills nationwide, whose intent is to limit voter participation, as well as the fraud in Arizona conducted by Cyber Ninjas, an organization whose CEO embraces the big lie of the 2020 election and whose organization has no experience with elections or audits. This myth, powered by disinformation and outright lies, persists in the face of all evidence to the contrary, threatening the long-term stability of our democracy. Study after study indicates voter fraud is exceedingly rare. Christopher Wray, the very Republican director of the FBI, testified to Congress in September 2020. There was no history of widespread voter fraud in national elections. Attorney General Bill Barr, one of former President Trump's strongest allies, stated there was no fraud sufficient to change the November 2020 election outcome. State and federal courts, including the Supreme Court, rejected all but one of the Trump administration efforts to litigate this election. One exception allowed voting observers to stand 4 feet closer in Pennsylvania. In today's interview, we will examine the status of the various bills seeking to limit voter participation here in Missouri. And we will also discuss some of the other major decisions taken by the Missouri legislature in the spring 2021 legislative session. Returning to our program from a few months ago, we have Denise Lieberman, the director of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition based in St. Louis. And we also have with us Representative Yolanda Young from the Missouri legislature, who represents District 22 here in Kansas City. Representative Young shared the stage with Congressional Representative Emanuel Cleaver, the president of the NAACP, and other speakers at the May 8 rally here in Kansas City in support of voting rights. This rally was part of a statewide series of rallies coordinated by the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition. So, Ms. Lieberman and Representative Young, we are very pleased that the two of you have joined us in Radioactive Magazine today, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm, thank you.
Really, really great to have the both of you here. Let's start off by a general question, regarding the voting bills sweeping the nation. How do each of you assess the power of the big lie and the nature of threats to democracy?
I don't know who you want to go first. I'm willing to.
Well, just whoever wants
start.
To go first.
Well, what the Republican Party did in spreading the false narrative that you mentioned, that Donald Trump's presidency was stolen from him due to massive voter fraud, it actually worked. Their claims and, along with the heinous actions that Trump's supporters took, we all remember how they stormed into the Capitol on January 6th of this year. It, to me, just demonstrates how powerful that false narrative was. And yes, it's been referred to as the big lie, primarily because it, it's the same tactic that Nazi Germany used, that same age-old propaganda technique. So when you tell a lie, a big one, enough times, it does become your truth. And this is just what happened. And now we have millions of American voters who have, at the least, have lost confidence in our election system based on those false claims.
That's absolutely right. And if you this is, let's be very clear here. This is an intentional and concerted effort to undermine American democracy by people who don't want all of America's voters to vote, because they realize that the makeup of the American electorate is changing. This is part of an age-old strategy. As someone who's been working in the voting rights field for 25 years, what I can tell you is that over the last at least decade, a little bit longer, we have seen concerted efforts to undermine, that are unfounded, by the way, concerted efforts to undermine public confidence in democracy as a way to justify further restrictions on the right to vote, as a way to combat the changing American electorate. The demographics of America's voters are changing. America is no longer going to be a majority white country in a few years. And this is coming faster in several states that are bearing the brunt of these legislative attacks. For example, Georgia will no longer be minority white this decade. But what we saw in 2020 was this tactic that has been going on for more than a decade, expand to the highest levels of government. And that is being used as to justify the spate of restrictive voting bills that are sweeping across the country. According to the Brennan Center for Justice, where I serve as a legislative advisor on in a number of states, there have been more than 360 restrictive voting bills introduced in 47 out of the 50 states this year, including, of course, here in Missouri. And what's important to know is that these are part of a coordinated and concerted attack. The kinds of attacks we're seeing are similar across states. Attacks on voting practices that allowed people to safely cast ballots in the pandemic. So you're seeing attacks on the absentee voting process, attacks on the mail voting process. We had legislation that would do both of those here in Missouri. Measures that would require voters to present expanded and more restrictive forms of identification, which of course were measures that were proposed here in Missouri as well as in other states. And other efforts that would limit the power of local election authorities, limit the ability of voter advocates to support voters at the polls, limit voting hours, times, and locations. There's a full range of legislation that we're seeing across the country, and they all come from this common thread of the big lie.
Yeah, this is I think this time in history is an extreme struggle, and it is a struggle that's going to be going on for a long time. And I think the health of our democracy is definitely at stake. I think let's jump into the bills that were passed. The number of bills that passed by the Missouri House on relating to voting, and What were the primary issues targeted by these bills, and what happened to them in the Senate? Representative Young, you want to go first on that?
I can, sure. So the photo voter ID was a big issue. I have to say that the Senate Democrats held the line. They really got in and made sure that it didn't go through. And so they succeeded in that. The voter ID bill, as Denise mentioned, you could hear the passion in her voice and you could hear the sort of history of what has happened over the years in regards to restricting voting. But this bill has been a priority, a long priority of the GOP, because as she said, and I agree so much with what she said, they want fewer people voting. And, you know, voters who tend to not have, when we talk about photo voter ID, the voters who tend to not have a valid ID are often African Americans. And according to those who study this, African Americans are the ones at the top of the list who tend to not have a voter ID, and they tend to vote Democrat. And so fewer people voting Democrat means that the GOP increases their chances of winning. So I just think it's a solution searching for a problem.
That's absolutely right. The Missouri Voter Protection Coalition tracked about 30 bills in the Missouri General Assembly this year. We track all the voting rights related bills. But our top priorities were the photo ID bills, the bills that would place restrictions on absentee voting, and bills that would create barriers and limitations to the citizen ballot initiative process. The photo ID bills that were a top priority this year, as they have been the last 15 years. The Missouri Voter Protection Coalition actually originally started in 2006, the first time Missouri attempted to enshrine discriminatory strict photo ID requirements to vote. And they've attempted to do so every single year, despite the fact that we sue them. These cases go up to the Missouri Supreme Court, and the Missouri Supreme Court has said now repeatedly that strict photo ID requirements to vote, in other words, taking away the forms of ID that voters can currently use to vote. And that's what these bills would do. They would take away forms of ID that voters can currently use to vote, would violate the Missouri Constitution. So let's make no bones about it here. We're not talking about whether voters should have to show ID at the polls. Missouri law already requires all voters to show ID every single time they cast a ballot. That's actually much stricter than federal law currently requires. Federal law says only first-time voters have to show ID. So Missouri law already requires voters to show ID every time they show up to vote, but they can show a range of forms of ID, including, for example, the notification card you get from your local election authority confirming that you are in fact a registered voter for that election. It is a form of ID that Missouri voters have come to rely upon because it is so reliable. It tells you where your polling place is. It tells you that you are in fact registered for that election. It tells you what time the polls are open. The bills that were pending in the Missouri General Assembly, House Bill 334, House Bill 738, Senate Bill 282, all would eliminate those forms of identification. It would no longer allow voters to show that voter notification card, no longer allow voters to show a student ID, leaving only the kind of ID that you have to get at the DMV. And that's where the problem comes in. And we know from the state's own data that there are over 200,000 current valid registered voters in Missouri who do not have a non-expired ID on file with the Missouri Department of Revenue, right? So right now our seniors can use their expired driver's license as a form of ID at the polls. That would no longer be true here in Missouri. And for people then that would have to go get an ID at the Department of Motor Vehicles, that's where there are problems. Many of these locations are not open evenings and weekends, creating hardships for low-wage workers and shift workers, for people that don't have access to transportation to get to these places. Not every county in Missouri even has a Department of Motor Vehicles office. And that's before you get to the underlying documentation you have to provide to get a state ID, like a certified birth certificate. If your name has changed since birth, you will also have to provide legal documentation of all of those name changes. And if there are any errors on those underlying documents or a mismatch in, say, how your name is spelled or the dates, you have to go through a bureaucratic process with each of those government agencies, including sometimes even getting a legal name change to correct a misspelling or a typo on those underlying documents in order to get them to reconcile to get a state ID. When we know right now that the forms of ID that are currently required from Missouri voters work. And that's the problem. We're not talking about whether voters should have to show ID. We already do. What we are talking about is removing the forms of ID that many voters rely upon to cast their ballots in order to cut people out of the process, disproportionately voters of color, seniors, young voters, low-wage workers, and voters with disabilities.
I think the Missouri law does allow for people who do not have a photo ID to show a utility bill or a bank statement.
That would be eliminated under these bills. So that is that's currently the case.
So that's the current those would be that's the current right. Law.
These proposals would eliminate all forms of ID except the kind that you have to get at the DMV. And it would also require them to be non-expired. Fortunately, those bills did not pass this year. They did not come for a vote, but we know they will be front and center and one of the first pieces of legislation to come up next time around.
Yeah, that brings us to kind of the next question, which is there is a push by some Republicans to call for a special session this summer to bring up those voting bills. Denise, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I'm not confident that that's going to happen, and I'm hopeful that it won't. But we know that these bills are coming back, regardless of whether that happens in a special session, which I don't think it will, or whether it is the first thing to be brought up next year, which I think is probably more likely. We have to be prepared for these bills to come back. We know they will. They come back every single year, and we know that they are going to continue to come back again.
Yes, I'll just add to what Denise said. It doesn't mean it's not happening. I haven't heard any discussion about the governor calling a special session on the voting bills, but I do know that in terms of special session, he has to call a special session to reauthorize the key funding mechanism for Medicaid. So haven't had any clarification on the voting bills yet.
Right. Well, I think it's pretty much guaranteed that this push for voting bills is not going in anytime soon. But since you brought up Medicaid, Representative Young, you want to talk about what happened that the Medicaid expansion was not passed, as well as a non-renewal of the routine tax to fund Medicaid here in Missouri. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we know that in 2020, the voters approved the amendment to the Constitution for that expansion, and our Republican legislatures on the other side of the aisle just refused to accept what the will of the voters put forth in 2020. I do know that in terms of the budget, we have an approved budget for about $34.1 billion. And I'm not on the budget committee, and I really commend my colleagues who are. And, you know, I know from the conversations with them that there's been a huge challenge just trying to be good stewards over every single penny. But this is the thing about the funds for Medicaid expansion. Under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government would pay 90%, which is about $1.4 billion for the fiscal year 2022. On top of that, implementation would actually bring us an additional $1.5 billion under the last federal COVID-19 relief package. So, you know, there are, it's a win-win for the state of Missouri to, you know, increase healthcare access for more Missourians. And then actually it would just, you know, boost our economy because it could create potentially about 80,000 jobs. And that would be a substantial boost to our economy.
Yeah. So you're talking about Medicaid expansion, and I think the legislature, my understanding is the legislature did not want to pony up the $130 million.
No, they did not.
And I had no idea the Missouri budget was $34 billion plus. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
So $130 million of that is a drop in the bucket. Where do you think this opposition is coming from?
Well,
this animus, you know, towards Medicaid
expansion. I think the argument, as I recall, the argument is that they say we don't have the funds for expansion, because the amendment, the actual amendment, didn't provide a funding mechanism. But, you know, there were a lot of, I say, games that were played during the debate for this funding, this session. The courts ruled, and Denise may be able to speak a lot better about the law side of this, but the courts did rule last year, before this amendment made it to the ballot, that the amendment didn't require a dedicated funding mechanism. So it was, it was approved, and it put it on the ballot without one. It will be upheld. So we can all look forward to, as of July the 1st, the Constitution mandates that Medicaid covers an expanded population that doesn't discriminate between those who previously qualify and those who newly qualify after expansion. So it's very plain language. They've just decided that they just, they want taxpayers to pay millions of dollars, I'm assuming, in a court case, as opposed to using the funding that we have access to fund Medicaid.
Denise, can you address yourself to the legal issue surrounding this?
Yeah, I think the representative is right. This is going to happen. And there has been a lawsuit filed just recently on behalf of voters, on behalf of Missouri citizens who qualify for that coverage, seeking to ensure that they will be entitled to get it. And I believe that the courts will affirm that.
And my understanding is that it's about 275,000 low-income Missourians that are impacted by this. Is that correct? Okay. Well, it seems to me that I read that somewhere. Regardless, it's quite a number. Representative Young, a number of actions that were taken by the legislature, kind of like talk about those a little bit. One is a gas tax increase of 12.5 cents over the next 5 years. COVID-19 liability protections for businesses, nursing homes, and churches, and a police reform bill, which included a police bill of rights. And the banning of chokeholds and not requiring KCPD officers to live within the city. Do you have any particular reactions to any of these bills?
Let's go back to, you mentioned first, I think, the gas tax increase.
Right.
That was a 4-hour debate, I hear, in the Senate. So the moderate Republicans and the Democrats actually worked together to get this bill passed. And so it would not have happened. I have to hand it over again, for even though we are the minority, we have power when we can, band together and really come together and, either stop or move a certain bill. But it would not have passed had it not been for the Democratic support on the gas tax bill. It'll raise the taxes, increasing it by 2.5 cents each fiscal year. Missouri hasn't had a gas tax since, it's been 25 years since Missouri's had a gas. And this is a user fee. So if you pay only if you drive. And, the real good thing about this bill, too, is that the unions love it. It will attract good paying jobs. So, we will be able to actually, shore up our roads and our bridges, our highways. So I think it was my reaction is it's a good bill. I voted yes on it. Again, it was. We were somewhat divided in a lot of instances, but I just think it's overdue.
Well, yeah, my understanding is that Missouri had one of the lowest gas taxes in the country, and
yes.
This particular increase is 12.5 cents total over 5 years by the fifth year. And then, and also from the Kansas City Star, I read that it'll provide a $500 million annually for the, to the Missouri Department of Transportation. So for bridges and roads. So that's all to the good. Do you have any particular feedback on the police reform bill at all?
Oh, yes. I tell you, I ended up voting yes on, and you may be referring to Senate Bill 53 and 60. It did pass out of the House and the Senate. This was a huge omnibus bill. One major area of contention, especially for those of us who are from Kansas City, was the police residency requirement. We were divided in our votes primarily due to that one provision. I think we all believed and believe that the officers should be a part of the community that they serve. Mm-hmm. But we ended up, again, there was a lot of work done on making the bill better. In the final version, there were a lot of good provisions and language, actually, in the bill that limited police officers from abusing their power. So, for instance, it you mentioned it prohibits the use of chokeholds. It also establishes a tracking system on how often physical force is used, and it also charges officers who've had sex with detainees or with prisoners, charges them with a felony. So, but in the end, I felt that I couldn't jeopardize some of those good provisions like that, that limited the abuse of power in exchange for the residency requirements. Let's be real. The bill isn't perfect, but it showed the potential of what could happen when parties come together to pass police reform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens in democracy. I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to end it here. I apologize. We've been talking with Denise Lieberman of the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition and Representative Yolanda Young of District 22 from the Missouri Legislature. Thank you very much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.